What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Aho! Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is! It's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike Sims, Walker!
We are rolling in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. George and I have been going through the divisions. We broke down the AFC West yesterday. Going to turn our attention to the NFC South today. But huge news out in L.A. with Matt Stafford and the Rams. Starting running back Cam Akers out for the year with a ruptured Achilles tendon. George, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the offensive line, and more importantly now, starting running back Darrell Henderson to pick up the slack.
Oh, it puts a lot of pressure on everything right now, right? They don't really have a starting running back. They have a decent number two. But they don't have a starting running back, so it puts pressure on Stafford on the offense to pass the game, to go out and catch the ball. You know, that's really how they're going to have to move their offense. Maybe somebody will be cut before training camp ends, and they'll be able to sign there, but this is a brutal loss. I'm not going to say it's a top loss for the team. It's not. But it's a loss you didn't want to happen. I think they can survive with Darrell Henderson, with Xavier Jones, Jake Funk. I mean, I don't think that any of these guys are special. Not that I thought Cam Akers was especially special anyway, but it's a brutal loss this before training camp even opens.
Well, I think when you look at it, Akers was the guy that came on at the end of the year, right? Had a dynamic second half of the season, rushed for over 500 yards, averaged around 4.5 yards per carry in that regard. But he was the home run hitter. Even in the playoff win over Seattle, he stepped up, played very well against Green Bay as well. And this was the optimism for 2021, right? You had Matt Stafford to improve the passing game. You had second year back Cam Akers with that explosiveness. Had depth behind him with Darrell Henderson that was taken in the draft the year before out of Memphis. And this was a player that I was very high on coming out for Memphis a couple of years ago. Led FBS in terms of rushing yards, 22 total touchdowns on the ground. He's a big back, very good in terms of contact and yards after contact. So he was that number two guy. I actually thought he could have pushed for the starting role this year. I know that the team liked Akers. But when you look at the regular season, they might be able to get through, but it really is the playoff run, right? That's why you got Matt Stafford to win a Super Bowl, and when you saw what happened in Green Bay, you need the running game to be effective, and now without Cam Akers healthy, that's going to put pressure to really sustain drives, and more importantly, this passing game really needs to step up now.
Well, you said it perfectly. This is a team built for the Super Bowl. They want to go to the Super Bowl. They don't want to make the playoffs. They want to win it all. That's why they acquired Stafford. That's why they give up the draft picks. That's why they keep playing the starting scrubs for a philosophy where they pay their superstars and don't have much else behind these guys if they were to get hurt. So, yeah, it's going to be intriguing. Do I think they can survive? I do. In today's NFL, I do. It's built for the passing game anyway. But this makes it one less, a little less margin for error now. right? Because someone else is going to get hurt eventually, right? You're not going to go through the next 6 months without another injury. So that's the problem here. It's not a good start to the season.
No. Now, our friends at FanDuel have L.A. right there where they were at the start of about a couple of weeks ago at 14-1. So they're really not factoring in right here, right now, that Akers' loss is going to be that detrimental. Now, does some of that have to do with some of the teams behind them, teams like Baltimore with some weaknesses and some of the other teams? But San Francisco still at 13-1 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, L.A. at 14-1, and we'll see how the injury plays out, especially in preseason, see if some younger players can step up for the L.A. Rams offense. Also want to bring up the Aaron Rodgers situation, a report that broke out in terms of the Packers wanted to extend him and make him the highest played player and quarterback in the NFL. He declined. How does that affect the team mentality moving forward through training camp? And is that an inclination that maybe he's not in Green Bay in 2021?
Well, we got to remember a couple of things here. Is the report accurate? And when they say he's going to be the highest paid player, how was the structure? You know, generally those are always lies. Right? You know, the agents leaked that out. He's going to be the highest paid player, but you don't understand at the end, he had no chance of reaching those certain milestones or incentives. So I have my doubts about that. That being said, I don't think it changes anything. The players care about one thing and one thing only. Is Rodgers going to be in camp? That's all it says. I mean, you want to read more into it? Okay. I mean, if the report is true and the structure was fine, then this leads me to believe that Rodgers ain't coming back no matter what you do. Right? If he was getting all that money, he still turned it. So that's the issue here. Is he going to report?
Well, FanDuel has now put up 16-1 odds on Green Bay. I know Green Bay was off the board, but now after the reports, they are 16-1 to win the Super Bowl. So that's got to be an inclination and an indication, right, that Rodgers most likely will be there week one, even though this report comes out right before training camp opens.
I don't think anybody knows. We're all guessing right now. You know, every time Rodgers talks, he's trying to see, okay, what's he going to do? Last thing he said was, well, I'll figure it out in a couple of weeks. And this was about a week ago. So he was sort of saying, I'll figure it out before training camp starts. So we'll see. But I don't know what's going to happen with Rodgers.
When we come back, George and I will be breaking down the NFC South. We'll talk about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, keep it worded.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down the NFC South. We looked at the AFC West yesterday in Kansas City. Gonna look at the Super Bowl champs and Tampa Bay with touchdown Tommy Brady. What can you say? They won 8 straight games down the stretch, 4 in the regular season, 4 in the playoffs to just dominate the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Won those 8 games at the end of the year by an average margin of victory of 14.7 points per game. Brady comes back. They get 31 players that had game experience, including Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette and Mike Evans. I don't know, George. This team is locked. They're loaded. And in terms of their win total on FanDuel at 11.5, I'm soaring through this in 2021. I love the total for Tampa Bay this year.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a pretty good argument that theoretically their offense should be better because there's no growing pains anymore, right? Brady knows the offense. He wasn't very good in the first half of the season. You know, and now he knows Bruce Arians' offense. The entire skill players, they all know it. This team is loaded here. It's tough to make it hard for anybody else to win this division. I don't think Winston's going to lead the Saints there above the Bucks. Panthers aren't ready. Falcons certainly aren't ready either. So, like I said, I think this is another team that is just going to, at times, go through the motions during the regular season because it's all about January. It's all about January and February now, too, for the playoffs for them. I think they're almost a lock, assuming, once again, Brady gets hurt, this all changes. You can say that about any team, though, if their quarterback goes down. But this should be a very dangerous team this season.
I agree, and I think when you just look at the teams, right, when we looked at Kansas City yesterday in terms of their win total, 12.5, it actually was plus 100, right? So FanDuel now has an 11.5 set with the Tampa Bay Bucks at minus 150. So they're sort of believing as well that, you know, Tampa Bay can sail through that total in terms of that number, right? And when you look at the schedule, and very manageable. I mean, it starts week one with Dallas. We know they're a 6.5-point favorite over your Dallas Cowboys. But then they get Atlanta at home, at L.A., at New England. Those two games are going to be difficult. Miami, at Philly, Chicago, at New Orleans. And then the bye week. I'll say this. Everybody's pumping up Taysom Hill. Everybody's pumping up Jameis Winston in New Orleans. Like, they're just not going to miss a beat. We're going to get into them later. But that game, I think they dominate. I think Tampa Bay clearly is the class of the division. And when you look at the offensive line, George, right? They had problems early on, only averaging 94 rushing yards per game in the regular season. That ranked 28th in the NFL. But they came together as a unit, led by Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. They pounded the rock. Fournette and Jones dominated Kansas City. I think that's the type of offense you'll see in 2021.
I'm with you. I think this is an offense that can attack you in multiple different directions here. There's not a weakness. So there's not a weakness. Fournette and Jones, I mean, by themselves, okay, you may not be thrilled, but together it's a nice unit. You add Giovanni Bernard to add that another pass-catching back out of the backfield for Brady. He's going to enjoy that because Sean Vaughn's there as well. We know the receiving group is fantastic. All right, Evans, Godwin, Brown, Miller. Very good, deep. It might be the best in the NFL, depending on how you look at it. Gronk and Howard and Brait. I mean, it's almost silly, the weapons they have here. The offensive line just went over. We know they can protect Brady. And once again, they'll be better as well. You know, this team is just everything's gone right for them. Everything's
it
gone
really
right. That
has.
Defense is awesome. We haven't even talked about the defense yet and how good they were at the end of last season. They look like they might be a top 5 D. Like I said, it's not a matter to me of do they make the playoffs. It's how far they go in the playoffs. And I still think they're the best team in the NFC.
I agree. I agree with you. You know, and I like Minnesota this year. We talked about it. But in terms of front runners, I love Tampa Bay. And you mentioned that defense led by Devin Wright, right? The linebacker at LSU, just a ball hawk, always around the ball. He's the emotional leader of that defense. Ranked first against the run last year, only allowing 80 rushing yards per game. When you stop the run, you make teams one-dimensional, right? That takes pressure off your secondary. So you look at this team last year, plus 8 in turnover margin, 48 total sacks. And then what they did in the draft, again, a very solid draft. They get Joe Tryon, the outside linebacker from Washington. He's an athletic talent. You could utilize him off the edge to increase quarterback pressures. He's fast. He's speedy. I mean, he could play multiple positions as well, and a very good linebacker in terms of pass coverage as well if you want to drop him into the flat. So this defense has an opportunity to be much improved from where they were last year, right? And then the other thing as well, George, is that you mentioned the wide receivers. What about Tyler Johnson? He was a favorite target for Tom Brady at the end of the year, the raw first-year player out of Minnesota a couple of years ago, right? He came on, had some drops in the Green Bay game, but this player can be another wide receiver that you got to keep an eye out for in 2021. I think he could put up solid fantasy numbers.
I agree. There's no weakness here. There's only two. In my mind, there are only two things that could derail this team. One, if they, you know, Super Bowl hangover. I guess that could be a problem. But I don't see that happening. A lot of veterans here. So I don't think that's going to be an issue with this team. And two, and once again, every team could say this, injuries. You know, if they get crushed, a whole bunch of injuries. They turn into the San Francisco 49ers of last year where everybody and their mother got hurt. Yeah, that could derail the team here. But, you know, you talk about guys who are coming back. Let's not forget that Vita Vey is back. He missed most of last season with the injury. That's a nice big guy in the middle there who could do some damage for you. I said, this team is loaded, just absolutely loaded.
And here's the thing. When I look at the schedule, it's like, okay, who is really going to challenge them? Everybody talks about L.A. and Stafford, right? Who do you want? You want Matt Stafford with the L.A. Rams now that Akers is down, or you want Tom Brady? Touchdown Tommy, TB12, going for his 8th Super Bowl, right? Okay, the game in New England – I mean, I'm sure they have Tom Brady's face posted on the blackboard already, right? For New England and Bill Belichick, we're going to beat him. We're going to punch him. I mean, you got to do something to get him off his game, right? And Tom's going to be motivated for that matchup. But then you look at the other games. At New Orleans, I'm telling you, this New Orleans team, I'm selling the whole year. We'll get into it in next segment. Ryan Fitzpatrick in Washington, Daniel Jones and the Giants, Carson Wentz. Are you kidding me? Carson Wentz? That looks like a deer in the headlights with Philly's team. He's going to go to Indy and Michael Pittman. Come on. Not happening. Atlanta and Matty Ice. Buffalo is tough. That's the one game I think at the end of the year. Buffalo and at Carolina twice. That Carolina team is going to be much improved. So outside of that, they could get 14 wins this year.
I'm with you. I'm going through the same thing in my head here. How am I going to find six losses for this team to get the under? And I can't find it. I mean, listen, you already said the games. Los Angeles and New England both on the road weeks three and weeks four. I think they'll lose one. You know, probably not both here. And by the way, that's not breaking news. Brady will be motivated for that game. Yeah, maybe just a little bit. And I think someone came out this week and said something about Brady on New England. I'm sure Bill just loved that.
Thanks. Thank you.
Right.
Appreciate that.
How about shut up? You know, right. Guys, be plenty motivated already. I don't need you adding any, stoke in the fire here. That's a must-watch game. That's Sunday night game in week four. But other than that, I mean, the Buffalo game, absolutely. But they got that at home. You know, Carolina, okay, maybe you lose one, but I don't see that being a big threat here. I can't find, assuming they stay healthy, I can't find six losses. I can't.
Well,
you mentioned New Orleans. No, they're not the team they were with Breeze. Although, if Taysom is the quarterback, by the way, they're going to be terrible.
I agree with you. Everybody's pumping them up. I love their defense. And like I said, they're coming up next. But the problem with New Orleans is the identity, right? You know, everybody expects, well, yeah, Taysom and Winston, they can get it done. Dual quarterbacks. They have Michael Thomas. And they did dominate Tampa Bay, right? Remember that Monday night game? Would they pace them like 35-0? It was 35-3 at one point because they ran down their throats with Kamara and Latavius Murray. It's not going to happen with this defense. Right, it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, I was doing that game in-game live with Cam, and we both took a bath because we had so many props because we thought there would be 1,000 points scored for both teams. Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
Yeah, but that you see, the problem is that to expect New Orleans to be the same type of offense that they were last year or be more explosive and go toe-to-toe with Tampa Bay, you just can't expect that, especially when you have a new starter. I don't care if they're experienced quarterbacks.
I agree. I completely agree with you. I think it's kind of silly here to think these sort of things. That's one thing that's great about Brady. The man is still motivated after all this time.
Gotta love Tom Brady going for his 8th Super Bowl. When we come back, we'll be diving right into the New Orleans Saints. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of the NFC South, just touched on Tampa Bay. Going to look now at New Orleans, 12-4 last year with Drew Brees at the helm. They won those 12 games by an average margin of victory of 14.8 points per game. But old man out. Now we have a quarterback battle between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. This is an offense that still has Alvin Kamara, one of the most lethal running backs in the NFL. You sprinkle in Michael Thomas, and there's optimism in the bayou in terms of New Orleans sitting right now in terms of their win total, 2021 on the FanDuel Sportsbook of 9 total wins, minus 115. But I'm going to shock you, George. I'm selling New Orleans all season long, and I think this team could lose possibly 10 games this year.
I don't think that. No, I think they'll be a decent squad. Somewhere around probably the opposite. 9-8, 10-7.
Really? Okay.
Assuming, There is a sign. I have to think Jameis Winston is going to be the quarterback here. With Hill getting his packages of, you know, whatever they want to run him in the RPO stuff, fine. But I think Winston's going to be a quarterback. He can do things that Breeze and Breeze could. He can throw the ball further down the field. Yes, we know he has a tendency to throw the ball to the wrong jersey. But you know, even Brady had problems in his first year in Arians' offense, where he was had some issues there as well. Seems like everybody does. So Winston certainly is not going to throw 30 interceptions again. Hell, if he can cut that in half, I think he'd be a very good quarterback with New Orleans here. So the defense is really good. Really good. The offense has the playmakers outside of maybe tight end, right? It's there. Just if Winston can be that quarterback. I don't think he needs to be an all-pro. I don't think he will be an all-pro. But as long as he's not the guy he was at the end in Tampa Bay where he's throwing all those picks, I think Saints are in decent shape. Not good enough to catch the Bucs, but good enough to be second place in a wild card.
All right, I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Okay, now it's one thing to have Drew Brees in that organization around the training camp, around the film room, right, where he was injured last year. The players know Drew is still there. Now Taysom and Jameis, the bullseye's on both of their backs. Continue the momentum in terms of what Drew brought. Now, when I look at this wide receiver core, Michael Thomas, elite, right? Best wide receiver maybe in the NFL. You have Traquan Smith there. You have Deontay Harris, Juwan Johnson. I think one of the best wide receivers they don't even utilize is Lil Jordan Humphrey from Texas, the second-year guy. Now, to your point about Jameis, he had much better wide receivers in Tampa Bay. He doesn't have that here. He has one wide receiver legit, right, in terms of Michael Thomas. The other thing is this, is that, you know, teams are going to stack the box and say, okay, beat us over the top. You think you could do it? Let's see. And I think that's going to be the game plan defensively. And when you look at Taysom Hill, I mean, overexceeded expectations. He is a gadget type of quarterback. I don't care that they worked with him in the offseason. In Provo, during his days with Ty Detmer, this kid was basically a 59% completion percentage. Inconsistent passer. Completed 70% last year in mop-up duty. This is not going to be the same offense. And here's the schedule, George. I want to get your take. Ready? Green Bay, at Carolina, at New England to start, New York Giants at Washington, bye, at Seattle, Tampa Bay. 1-6. Put it on paper right now. New Orleans, 1-6 after the first seven games.
Oh, you're nuts. There's no way they're going 1-6 the first seven games.
They're going 1-6. I'm serious.
You're giving way too much credit to Carolina. They're also never that good a team. The Giants, even Washington. Remember, New Orleans defense is not as good as Washington's, but maybe a couple of steps behind, and their offense is still better. So they could certainly beat Washington. Seattle's going to be tough, of course. Tampa, yes. Green Bay, we don't know what's going to go on with Rodgers. You know, and even New England, I'm not sold on the Patriots at all, by the way. They're going to be back. I think they'll be better, certainly. But if they're going with Cam Newton, which I imagine for week three it will be Cam Newton, we don't know what Cam's going to show there. So, no, they won't be 1-6. I would give them somewhere around 3-3. Yeah, 3-3, 3-4, 4-3, somewhere in that.
Really? Okay, the only game I had them really winning was New York, believe it or not. I think with Daniel Jones, they take a major step back. I'm not sold on Daniel Jones. I Green Bay, I'm assuming that Rodgers is there, but even with Jordan Love, no. Carolina, I'm high on. Carolina is my sleeper in the division, you know. So I love what Matt Rhule has done. I love what they've done defensively. New England, can you see Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels losing again to Sean Payton in terms of that type of situation? With Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, come on, not going to happen in New England. You think that they're going to go into New England? That game is probably going to be a Sunday night, right?
No,
and pull that victory out?
It's a 1 o'clock game, so it's not a night game. They can't have night games back-to-back weeks. So maybe they play that's another thing. They'll be looking forward to playing Tom the next week. Another advantage for New Orleans. The team will be looking ahead for that matter. I don't think New England's – listen, I think New England's got a lot of question marks. You know, a lot of question marks here. They still don't have all that many playmakers other than the tight ends here. You know, who's going to play quarterback for this team? Is it Mac Jones or Cam Newton? Cam Newton was terrible the past couple of years. People think he's just going to revert back to form. I'd like to see that happen. Yeah, you know, so I think New England's going to have all sorts of issues here. So I'm not giving them an automatic win over anybody. Hell, I think Tampa Bay might trounce them the week after. That's how many problems New England's going to have here.
All right.
I mean, do you trust Cam Newton?
No, but I trust Belichick and McDaniels to get it right. Somehow, some way, from a game plan perspective. No, but they know what Cam can do and what he can't do. You know, last year it was sort of like trying to figure it out on the fly. And the fact that he had the COVID issues. Well, here's the thing. I love New Orleans defense. I mean, ranked fourth against the run statistically, giving up 93 yards per game. They were fifth best against the pass, only 217 passing yards per game. You look at Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport, two legitimate defensive ends. But DeMario Davis is the heart and soul of that defense, right? Former Arkansas State linebacker, went to the Jets. The Jets had him and let him go. This guy, in my opinion, give me 50 DeMario Davises, because this guy will rip your head off, take your lunch money, and smile in your face and then do a dance. This guy is all over the ball. I mean, if you can have a whole team of what he brings to the table, you're going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, the Jets made a little boo-boo there, letting him get away. Like I said, it happens. Some guys are better in certain systems than other systems. The defense is there. Like I said, I think it'll be a top five defense end of the year, somewhere around.
Even with the old men in the secondary, in terms of Malcolm Jenkins and Lattimore, you have no concerns about them?
It is their biggest issue. I'm not really concerned about Lattimore as far as his play. I'm concerned, can he play 17 games? You know, that I would probably take the under on. Then again, I would take the under on most of these players. I might put it at 14.5 Lattimore, so that could be an issue. And how many of those other games that he does play, is he not at full strength? Yeah, that always concerns me there with these guys and how they're going to manage a 17-game schedule this year. But I think the defense is good, you know, very good. The question I always come down with teams is two things. How's your offensive line and the quarterback? You know, and that's my biggest question mark with New Orleans. Everything I said about New Orleans, I would change my mind completely if, you know, Peyton goes, oh, Taysom Hill's going to be our quarterback. You know, like, oh.
Why, then you feel better? Then you feel better or worse?
No, I feel much worse. Much worse. I think that's a huge mistake.
Well, our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, that we have on every week, had sort of indicated that he feels, because of the money invested in Taysom Hill and because of, you know, what was there, that they're going to make a concerted effort to start him week one. Now, I think that's a bad recipe, in my opinion. I really do, just because of his game is the RPO game, right? You're not going to be able to do that each and every week in terms of running Taysom Hill, in terms of those goal line situations and early on maybe in downs, because he can't take a multitude of hits and still complete 70% of his passes over the course of a season, especially at the NFL level. That will take its toll.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Taysom Hill has said he's taking snaps solely at quarterback. Nothing else this offseason here. So they are grooming him for that, which is great. Now, Kelly mentioned his money. He has nothing guaranteed after this year. You know, that was all, once again, that was all fluff that they did there. So they can get out of this right away. Hell, if they want to cut him, it's only 8.9 in dead cap hit next year. That was all fluff to get under the cap this year, what they did with Taysom Hill. So it's not a killer. But that being said, one thing I will give that could lead him to playing more, they need to find out, right? Because then you got to re-sign him after this year, you know, see what you're going to do. So they do need to find out if he can be a quarterback or not. But let's also remember, he's also 31 years old. He's not 24. We're going to grow with this guy. You're not. You know, in my mind, he is what he is. A gimmick guy. He can quarterback for a little bit, do his RPOs, you know, run the ball, this sort of thing, fine. I guess he's not playing special teams anymore either. But he's not a quarterback of a team that's going to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's a quarterback of a team that can beat Tampa Bay.
Well, they're plus 320 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the division. I don't see that. The other question that you have to bring up is, okay, if he is an RPO guy and we both agree on that, and you like Jameis, do you split them? Do you continue to utilize a dual threat type of scheme throughout the system or throughout the season? Or if you're Sean, do you say, you know what, Jameis is my guy, Taysom's my guy, and we'll roll with them? How do you approach it from that level?
You know, when they split it with Drew Brees, you know, I thought it was terrible. He's a Hall of Fame guy. But I also thought, okay, maybe they're giving Brees a little breather during the game, you know, because his arm wasn't what it used to be. Maybe it's a little breather here and there. And Taysom can still get you yardage there. Jameis is probably not going to need that. And I also, the negative is, are you taking him out of a groove? You know, if he's throwing the ball all over the place, you know, into the turf, into the into the sidelines, into the stands, okay, fine. You know, he had an off day, no control, go. But if he's hot, I'm not taking the man out. I just think that's silly. always think that's silly to remove the hot guy here. I said, I think they fall in love. I think Peyton's falling in love with Tahill and all the gadgets he can do with them. I think Peyton also likes to prove that he's smarter than everybody else.
Right,
and
right.
Whether or not that's true, he wants to show you, oh, look what I can do with this guy. And I think that can be silly sometimes. That being said, I do expect, if it was me, I'm probably going with Winston, but I think it'll be a 75-25 split, Winston Hill.
All right, we'll see. Under 9 is minus 105, so I like that. I think you're getting value with New Orleans under for the season. When we come back, we'll be talking about Matty Ice and Sam Darnold, Atlanta and Carolina. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our conversation about the NFC South, we're going to take a look at Carolina with Matt Rhule, first-year head coach from Baylor, 5-11 last year. 8 of the 11 losses, though, by 10 points or less. They get Sam Darnold over from the New York Jets. He's going to be the starter for that offense. Will Christian McCaffrey be 100%? That's the main question for this team, but I'll tell you what, FanDuel put up a 7.5 win total at plus 110. This is my dark horse for the division, George. That defense with Derek Brown and Denzel Perryman going to be much better this year. I love Matt Rhule in year number two. Don't be shocked if this team is a wild card contender at the end of the season.
Okay, I'll remember this. Carolina wild card contender, New Orleans is going to fall flat on their
feet. Put it on paper. Okay.
All right, I'm writing it down. It's actually right down right now. So remember this. That Joe Lisi said, I certainly think they could be a wild card contender, sure. We have extra wild cards nowadays, so yeah, why not? I do think there'll be a team in this division that will surprise. I don't think it's going to be all Bane, everybody else being terrible. I just think it's going to be more New Orleans. I think Carolina's on the right path. I certainly believe they're on the right path. That being said, you want me to trust Sam Darnold? That ain't happening. I'm sorry.
You can't bash Sam Darnold. You can't. I'm a Dolphin fan, right? I hated Sam Darnold. But if we're looking at things objectively, right, Sam Darnold really wasn't the problem for the New York Jets. It was that head case as head coach, Adam Gase. Are you kidding me? It's amazing how he went from the Dolphins to the Jets, got a job, got basically complete control. I mean, the man was horrible. Horrible. Where he must be in an alley somewhere. Anybody know where Adam Gase is?
Wow, another Christmas card not being sent by Joe Lisi. Listen, I'll give it to you. He didn't have the greatest coach. He didn't have the greatest support staff, but he certainly wasn't the solution either. Can he be worse in Carolina? Probably not. But once again, it's still first year in a new system.
Right.
I have my doubts that he's going to also pick up and be a I don't expect him to be great at all, but even be a good or above average NFL quarterback. I think this offense is still going to be filtered through CMC. Christian McCaffrey. I do like the offensive weapons of Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, even David Moore. I don't mind. They did lose Curtis Samuel to the Washington football team. I think that's a loss. Tight end, all right, it's average. You know, it's average. Offensive line, yeah, I worry about that a little bit as well.
Right.
You know, can they protect Sam Darnold here? I think this is, like I said, to me, this is a work in progress. Even the defense, you know, which is, once again, improved, but I think it needs time to cook. I think it needs time to cook. It's, you know, the sauce is there. You know, the meatballs are in. The sausage is in. But it needs time to cook. I don't think it's ready for prime time this year. But that being said, you want to tell me they're going to be the last wild card? I probably wouldn't argue with you because we can go through this over and over again. I don't think they will, mind you. I just think the NFC West is too strong. It wouldn't shock me if they all come out of that division. Plus, you got to worry about maybe a second team in the NFC East does dominate because the division's bad and the schedule's not all that tough. Minnesota, you like a lot. And if Rodgers does come back, those two are making the playoffs. So I don't have them making the playoffs, but I do think they are on the right path.
Okay. Well, here's why I like Carolina. Biggest progression for a head coach is from year one to year two. And look at Matt Rhule, who came from Temple. He took over in terms of Baylor. He takes over a team that basically was terrible, right? Turns it around from 1-11 to basically 11-2. But he did so in the interior. Offense and defense line play with their quarterback back in the day, Charlie Brewer, that's now at Utah. That was the MO of Baylor, right? They got more physical in the interior. And that's what he did here. You know, you look at Derrick Brown, fifth overall selection from Auburn. I think he's poised for a breakout year. You sprinkle in Shaq Thompson, a very athletic linebacker. You look at J.C. Horn now, that adds depth to that defensive secondary. I think he's going to flourish in Matt Rhule's scheme. That's the defensive side of the ball, right? You look at this team overall last year, they allowed 121 rushing yards per game. That was ranked 20th in the NFL. That secondary was ranked 18th against the pass. But offensively, if anybody could get the most out of Sam Darnold, I gotta believe it's Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. He did so with Joe Burrow at LSU, that came over from Ohio State, breakout year, basically 60 touchdown passes, George. I mean, think about that. I mean, in just what he was able to put up in Baton Rouge a couple of years ago, you gotta think that Sam Darnold takes the next step with Joe Brady in terms of coaching him.
Well, he had better. He had better take the next step. I think Donald does have the talent to take the next step. I said, I don't think he'll ever be a great quarterback or, you know, first team all pro or anything like that. I don't see that at all. But I do think he has the talent to be a serviceable NFL quarterback. Yet to see it, though. And for me to buy in that it's going to be this year, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure all around here. I think he'll be better. I do, because I think the team is coached better. I think he has better weapons. I think the great running game alone will take a lot of the pressure off, right? Hey, you know, teams are not, the passing game is almost secondary because you got to worry about CMC. Everything's going to filter through him. So right. I do like that. But to take that next kind of step here, like I said, I just don't see it. I think they are probably the third best team in the division. Tampa Bay, I have it ahead, and I like New Orleans. I know you don't, but I do like New Orleans. So I think they're the third best team, somewhere around a 9-8 team, 8-9.
Okay, so you're going over the 7.5 with me then. So you sort of lean to the over of 7.5 at plus 110 in terms of the FanDuel odds for 2021 with them. And let's look at their schedule. 3.5-point favorites to start the year against the New York Jets with new head coach Robert Saleh and the crew. They're 3.5-point favorites. Love them. Matt Rhule all offseason to prepare for Zach Wilson, even though he doesn't have game film. You have Sam Darnold that understands that personnel defensively for the Jets. I'll lay the 3.5 any day of the week. So they get back-to-back home games. Jets, New Orleans, then they're on the road to Houston and your Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia, Minnesota, at Giants, at Atlanta, New England, at Arizona, Washington, and at Miami before the bye week. I think they could be, honestly, that they can win 7 games right in the first half of the year.
They could. There's a lot of games there are a lot of winnable games there. Really, if you look at it, what are the losable games? The games that you know they're not going to win.
Minnesota, I think they lose. I think they lose Minnesota. You want to give them home. Arizona, right? How about Arizona? Arizona with Kyler Murray supposed to be improved. We'll give them. Those are two.
See, out of the first 12 games, I don't think there's one game here where they have no chance. Not one game. Right. They don't play any of the top the bullies. You know, they don't even play Tampa Bay yet. Right, there's no Tampa Bay, there's no Buffalo here, no Kansas City. There's just not. You know, so I think for them, you know, I don't think there'll be any long losing streaks. I don't. This is why I do like the over for them. Because I don't think the schedule's all that tough. Do I expect them to lose to Minnesota? Sure. But I'm not going to tell you it's a lock. You know, New England? Okay. Arizona? Sure. They can have trouble. Washington and Miami as well. But they're not going to lose all of them. They'll beat some of this. They'll probably lose to a team we were a little surprised about, too. I don't think it'll be New York, by the way. I have Carolina in that. I'll be on them week one as well here. The second half gets a little tougher because there you do have the Buffalo. Right? That's where their problem is. If they're on a bubble going in to week 14 after their bye, they're in a lot of trouble. Because that last 4 games.
I agree with you. You're right.
Buffalo, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa. Good luck. Although, theoretically,
three of the five are road games.
That's a brutal, brutal final month there.
Buffalo in late December, early January, it's going to be brutal. Are you kidding? It might be 10 degrees, if that, in that stadium, right? I mean, Carolina on the road, we'll see.
Windy,
but, you know, Sam Darnold's performed.
Snow.
He's performed on the road in Buffalo. He's played well, actually. We'll see. I mean, it's interesting when we break it down, right? They're plus 1,100 to win and steal the division. I don't see that, but I like their over 7.5. So you're going to go over as well?
I am. I think they're good enough to wear all these games. I think they'll. I don't know if they're going to give them 7-5, but that's what I'll need for the over. For them to go 7-5, 8-4 in the first 12. Beat Atlanta coming out of the bye and then steal one of those games. There we go.
Well, let's look at Atlanta. 4-12 last year, new head coach, right? They started the year last year, lost 5 straight. They ended the year with a 5-game losing streak. They lost those 12 games by an average margin of defeat of 7.2 points per game. Remember, they were supposed to bolster the offensive line for Matty Ice. Didn't work. He did throw for 4,500-plus yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Calvin Ridley, big play wide receiver. That being aside, I know they got Kyle Pitts, the savior from Florida, that's going to automatically turn around this defense. Explain that to me. How is this team going to get better from a tight end defensively? And when you look at their team overall, 293 passing yards allowed defensively, dead last in the NFL. I'm selling Atlanta as well all season in 2021.
Yeah, I think they're going to have some problems. Now this team, boy, they found ways to lose last year, right? How do you lose that Cowboy game the week after against Chicago when you had something like a 96% win percentage? I mean, scary. Scary what happened to the Falcons last year. Offensively, they're going to be fine. All right, they're going to be fine, even without Julio Jones, Pitts, Ridley. They'll score points. All right, Russell Gage there. I think they will score points, but there's not much of a running game here to keep the defense off the field. So, if you're a fantasy player, you're going to want to load up on Ryan Ridley and Pitts because they're going to score. They're going to have to throw the ball a ton to stay in this. The defense, I don't think, is there at all. I don't even know how close it is to being there. A lot of guys that you hope that could be that guy. You know, and I thought, you know, in the position they were in, now, when I look at them now, maybe it won't matter next year. But the position they were in the draft this year, that maybe they should have taken a quarterback. Not that it's Ryan's fault. It's not. But that you don't know if you're going to be a top five draft pick all that often where you're going to be able to get a quarterback. But looking at this team, looking at the schedule here, I think they're very likely to be in the same position next year to take a quarterback anyway.
But they got Kyle Pitts, the 6'5 tight end from Florida that I was in love with. You know, if you follow college football today, I talked about Kyle Pitts had a dynamic sophomore campaign. That being aside, I mean, when you look at the tight end production in the NFL, Waller, right? 6th-round draft pick out of Georgia Tech. Kelce, 3rd-round draft pick. Kittle, a late-round draft pick. Robert Tonyan, free agent. You're telling me you couldn't pick a tight end off the street to get the same type of production? But he's a world beater. Explain to me how this team changes from maybe an offensive perspective, yeah, okay, you're going to utilize different types of schemes with Kyle Pitts. But defensively, you can't stop anybody. This defense allowed basically 26 points per game. They had the meltdown with Dallas. They had other meltdowns throughout the year. And when you look at this team overall, Dante Fowler, he's not a lead anymore. Grady Jarrett's getting older. So you look at this team overall, the only player I love is Deion Jones, the former LSU standout. I mean, this guy can run sideline to sideline. That being aside, Cordarrelle Patterson, the guy's 100 when he came out of Tennessee in terms of kneeling. He's bounced around how many teams? Minnesota, Chicago. You need to pick him up to bolster your running game?
Yeah, it's not good. They're missing a lot of pieces here. That being said, yeah, you look at their schedule. If everything would, I mean, listen, we could play this game all day, but if everything goes well, there is a way for them to be 4-1, 3-2 before the bye in week 6. You open up against Philadelphia, who have their own issues. Okay, you're going to get trounced by Tampa Bay. And, you know, New York, I think the Giants are a better team than we give them credit for. I think you can make an argument the Giants are the best overall team in the NFC East. Cowboys have no defense. Washington, their offensive problems here. And Philadelphia has all sorts of issues. Giants are balanced more. Granted, Daniel Jones is a huge question mark. You know, but you play them. Then you play the Washington football team, and maybe you score some points, and you play with Jets. I mean,
yeah, but it's in London. That's the one question.
Still, you're playing with Jets. I don't care where you're playing with Jets. You're playing on Mars. You're playing with Jets.
All right.
But I said, if everything goes well, I'm a big believer in the snowball going down the hill, or you're trying to push it up the hill. You know, hey, you roll, and it's 3-2, 4-1, you're feeling good. You start to feel it before your schedule gets much tougher after the bye. You know, so I could see that. That being said, if things go horribly wrong and you're 1-4 and you've lost to all these teams, then it's a 3-14 season.
Well, when we come back, we'll wrap up the Atlanta Falcons and the NFC South. Their under is at plus 110 on FanDuel. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on Pro Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
See, North, we left off with the Atlanta Falcons, and George was going to give them a 4-1 start before the bye week. George, I got to tell you, tell me the win that they get in the second half of the season will give them a 4-1 start at Miami, Carolina, at New Orleans, at Dallas, New England, at Jacksonville, there's the win, Tampa Bay, at Carolina, at San Fran, Detroit, there's a win, at Buffalo, New Orleans. I have this team with 6 wins in 2021.
And that's with us giving them a 4-1 start, and that's being kind. All right, I'm saying they could win. I don't think they will. I think it's probably more 3-2, 2-3, which means now we're talking about 4-5 wins on the season. This is an under. This is an under for me, a strong under. I always say, the way I always look at a schedule is this. You know, I tend to go in groups of what they're playing. Okay, they'll go 3-1 in these games and look at it like that. But at the end, when I tally up the numbers, like I said, in this case, 7.5. If I can get the 6 or lower or 9 or higher, then it's a bet for me. Yeah, when it's on the half. I want a game and a half that I feel strong about. That's good. If I'm within a half, if I had it at 7 or if I had it at 8, then I'm not touching it. It's too close. You know, and I fully realize when we do these things, we're betting on a schedule. You know, teams are going to change. There are going to be injuries, stuff that's going to happen. You know, so it is guesswork. And I don't like to bet a lot of totals because I don't want my money to be tied up until January. But that being said, this is going to be one of those that I love unders here. And I tend to bet more unders, Joe, as far as team totals than I do overs.
I'm with you in regards to that, unless there's a clear-cut team, like I mentioned today, in terms of Carolina, that I think it's sailed through their total. I recommend, in terms of the futures, taking like 15% of your total bankroll for the football season, right? Take 15%, put it on some teams, overs and unders, that you think that you're getting value early on, and then you could always adjust as the season progresses. I mean, coach on the hot seat, I would think it's Sean Payton, and I don't mean in terms of getting fired, but coach on the hot seat in terms of getting the most, right? There's no pressure really on a first-year head coach in Atlanta, Matt Rhule, second year. The pressure is on Sean Payton to really keep up the momentum, and we saw Bill Belichick struggle with that.
Absolutely. Payton's got a lot to prove without Breeze.
Well, we'll see. When we come back tomorrow, we'll be talking about the AFC South. Have a great day, everyone.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.